Dear ones, for this morning's reading and meditation, desire to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 25, and we'll pick up the reading at verse 31 and read that to the end. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31 to the end. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before him in prayer. Dear ones, this portion of Scripture that we read together is actually one of the most difficult portions of Scripture to read as a believer and as a non-believer, because the Lord Jesus speaks of a division, of a separation. And how much time do you and I spend thinking about this separation, this division that will take place between the sheep and the goats, one to the left, one to the right? A gulf will be placed between them that is between heaven and hell. The distance which can never be a bridge to be placed across to cross later. It's final. There's no trial. You don't state your case. You don't say, well, there's a judgment. It's a judgment. It's not a trial. And the judge that we stand before is one who doesn't need to know anything, doesn't need to hear anything from you and me, because he knows you and me better than we know ourselves. Our names are either going to be in the book of life, and we will go on his right hand, or we will be judged according to our works. We never made it into that book, and we will be going to the left. into an eternity without God, a blackness that is so utterly black we can't even understand, can't even think of it. A place where there is no good, a place where Jesus describes to make it seeable to us, because we don't know what hell is. He says it's a place where it's extreme torment, weeping, gnashing of teeth. And it's just forever. And it's so final. The only thing we can compare it to on this life is that finality is when someone would die. There's no more. And as the brother mentioned in the prayer about those who grieve, that's also to include the Namani family, whose Brother Ishvan's father passed away. Brother Joe and Balash's father last night passed away. He is separated forever here on this earth. When our loved ones pass away, there's no more to go to say anything. It's final. You will never meet them anywhere. You know, we can go to travel to different parts of the world and go places, and there can be a separation. There can be someone moving away, but you can always hope to see them in this life. They could come visit. You can go visit. The Lord opens a way and so on. But the finality of a separation is what Jesus is speaking about here in this chapter. One that it would be wise for us to ponder on, to think about, and to ask ourselves, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. If you do not want to be on his way, you will experience his truth on this judgment day. And the Bible tells us in other portions that there will be those who, when they, it says here, he will come and sit upon the throne of his glory. He will be in his glory. He took his glory off when he came, because your eyes and my eyes would never be able to behold the glory of God when he came to this earth. We wouldn't be able to behold it. So he stripped himself of that glory and took on flesh and blood. And we look to him, and we read of him, and our eyes of faith can see him. Is he attractive to you and to me? Is his way, he says, I am the way, is that way a way of beauty for you and me? When we see the meekest of men, when we see one who is gentle, one who isn't angry, one who doesn't lash out at those who are troubling him or mocking him or spitting on him, he doesn't turn to them in anger. The Almighty doesn't do that. Is that way attractive to you and to me? A way of meekness and humbleness? You don't want to establish yourself as better than anyone? God forbid that thought would enter into our mind, let alone to do it, to show ourselves off, and so on. That's his way. Is that the way that we want to be on? A life of simplicity, modesty. If we are to partake of his life, and then we are to be on this way. And Jesus speaks in other portions of Scripture of these. Here he speaks of two destinations. In the Sermon on the Mount, towards the end of it, he speaks of the two ways, the two paths, the two doors. What path are you on? What path are you on? Brothers and sisters, I know what we will say at the snap of a finger. I'm on the narrow way. Yeah? Is it the way of Jesus? Is it the way of Jesus? Don't look at the fact that you don't go see movies, you don't go get drunk in bars, you don't cheat on your spouse, or don't look at that. Because that's not what Jesus is speaking about here at all. The message that he gives of a division is something that should put terror into our hearts. Because what in essence, what he is speaking about here, as he says, the division is coming because you did not feed me. You did not clothe me. You did not visit me when I was sick. You didn't come to me when I was in prison. Because when you didn't do it to one of these of my little ones, you didn't do it to me. And we might say, well, I give tithes. I feed the poor. I give. I'm going to be on the right hand. Not so quick. Let's not be so quick. Because Corinthians, Apostle Paul, inspired by God, says that you can give all of your goods to feed the poor and it matters nothing. So is that a contradiction of Scripture here? Jesus says, you gave, so you're going to be on my right hand. You're going to, as he says here, into life eternal. And Paul says, if you gave everything, but you don't have love, it means nothing. In the previous chapter, as I was reading this, these portions of Scripture, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Okay, so what Jesus is describing here really is a lack of love. And so you and I, if we are asked, do you love the Lord? We will say, yes, I love the Lord. The next question we need to ask ourselves based upon what Jesus says, do you have sin in your life? Because Jesus says, if you have iniquity in your life, if you have sin that is alive in your life, your love is getting cold. And when your love is getting cold, you're now giving out of a duty. You're not doing it because of you love me and then your fellow man. So we all circle back, have to come back to our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we put our faith in him, our trust in him, we obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's why Paul is saying, you can sacrifice everything, but you don't love him because you don't obey him. It means nothing. In another portion of Scripture, they asked him as he was on his way to Jerusalem, and they asked him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Well, he talks about a narrow way, and he says, there are few that are on that way. There's 200-300 of us gathered here today. Are we all going to be on the right hand of God? Are we the sheep? Is there any amongst us who is a goat? Is there any of us who are unrepentant in our sin? Sin cannot abound in our hearts and love to keep growing. Because Apostle Paul says, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How can he who is dead to sin live any longer therein? It's not possible for one who is dead to live. We are dead to sin. We cannot live in it. This is a judgment seat of Christ. He says he will come back. He will be there in his glory. And many will say for the mountains to fall upon them. You will, I will come face to face. And that look in our eyes, when he looks into our eyes, there's going to be everyone from the flood is going to be here. Everyone before the flood, everyone after the flood, every generation, every nation, nations that no longer exist will be there. Everyone will be there. Everyone who is given life and breath will be there. What does it matter now who you were in this earth, on this earth? How important is your pride? How important is it now that you're not going to let someone else tell you something? Who does he think he is? Anger, flashes of anger and so on. Is that important now when you're before Jesus? Not one who is meek and a lamb, but one who is here in all his glory, in whose presence sin cannot stand. Cannot. And so he says, depart, you worker of iniquity. Iniquity abounds, love grows cold. And so, if we ask ourselves, is there any sin in my life? And we recognize it, and we can overlook it. That means we don't love him. You do not love God. You do not love the Lord. If there is sin in my life, that's what the Bible says. Because one who does sin, he recognizes his sin. And because he loves his Lord, because he loves him, and wants to look up into at this moment at the judgment seat and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because of what he did for me, he took my sin upon himself and died for me. He suffered that death on that cross for me. Do I now cling to that cross? It's my only hope. Are you on the broad way, the wide way, where many are there? You want to get off. But you want to get off of that road and you want to be saved, but you want to stay on that road, but you want to find some kind of road that you can be comfortable in, that you don't have to give up much for. And Jesus doesn't talk about another place here. There's a little bit, not, you know, it's for the Christian who was a Christian. He proclaimed his faith. He said he believes. He didn't do bad things. He didn't murder nobody. He didn't do terrible things. But he just didn't love his Lord quite like the apostles did and the faithful saints of old, who we have examples of in the scripture. And I'm sure in our lives, we know those who have passed on before and perhaps are living today. To God be all praise, who we can see the love of God reigning in their hearts as they serve him. So, dear ones, are we concerned with one another? Are we concerned that there are some amongst us who are on this broad way? Because if you love someone, you will be concerned about them. And the Bible shows us that when we love him, we love our fellow man. You can't lash out in anger. You can't do the things that the flesh wants to do. Not if you're clinging to the cross. And there's no way you can do that. And that's your only hope. That's my only hope. So on this broad way, you have to get off. You have to take that exit. And that exit is the cross. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no other exit off that road. It's the cross of Christ. The place where you and I must go to die to ourselves. So that Jesus talks about this miracle. We talk about the miracle of a new birth, which we've had in our church here just recently, several new births, and the miracle of a new birth, of a new life, and the beauty of it, and so on. Jesus talks about something way more miraculous that he can do, that he does in a new life, but he can also do in a life that has already been lived, in sin, in debauchery. He can do something else. He can create in us a new man. But you got to go to the cross. In order to avoid this judgment, and I don't mean to avoid it in the sense of not standing there, but avoid the being the goat that is cast off to the left, you have to go to the cross. And a new life must be given. Do we live that life? Is that who we are? You know, do you avoid shaking someone's hand, greeting someone? Because maybe, what? What? Jesus says if you do that to one of these, my little ones, that might be someone who is one of his little ones. You didn't do it to him, you didn't do it to me. You didn't love me. Because Jesus is speaking here about you didn't give someone water. The only thing that would prevent that is a lack of love, which means that there is self involved, which means there is sin involved. Because sin strips us of our humility. Sin strips us because sin is what this flesh wants. Sin is what we feed this flesh with because we love our flesh more than we love God. It's an awful thought. And he said, no, that's not true. Yes, that's what the Bible says. Jesus says it. If sin abounds in my life, love for him grows cold. And when love for him grows cold, all of this that we read here of this parable of this last judgment is all filled with the works of love. So when you give something, if it's not out of a heart of love, it matters nothing to you. Don't rest upon it. Don't count, okay, how much did I give? Make sure I give 10%, 20%. I'm going to do even better. I'll give 50%. You can give it all, Paul said, all of it. Oh, you can do more than that. You can do more than that. You can give your life. You can give your life to be burned at the stake. You can give your life to be stoned. But if you don't love, it doesn't matter at all. So if it's, so the question is, for you and me, do I love the Lord? The answer is in my life. It's not in my words. Jesus said, I'm tired of your lips and what they utter. I'm tired of your praises that you're singing. I'm tired of everything. I'm tired of it all. That's what he says. I want to see a heart that loves me, that is willing to sacrifice for me. This is the sacrifice. It's love. When my brother is in pain, I am in pain with him. When my brother is rejoicing, I rejoice with him. I don't covet. Covet? Covet someone else's property, belongings, life? That means I don't know Christ. And so we need to recognize these things in our hearts and in our lives. We need to recognize this. How are you and I going to recognize these things if we put his word away? If we don't read, and you know, I know even though we haven't read this chapter, actually we have read this chapter twice this year, but not this portion. We all know this very, very well. And we know it so well that it means nothing to us. Who will say unto them? The King will say. So it is the King, King Jesus, on his throne, in his glory. Where's the meek and mild Jesus to say, well, surely he will just see that, well, you know, okay, he was weak. He will see you and I, and when he looks at us, we will know. We will know. We'll know exactly why he tells us, I never knew you. You can say, but I preached. I gave. I visited. I did these things. Depart from me, worker of iniquity. Sin is in your heart and in your life. You never repented. What I did for you on that cross meant so little to you that you wanted to live. You wanted to call upon my name and live in sin. Now we're going to say, well, what is that sin? You know it. You will know it. That's not a maybe. There's no such thing as I don't recognize sin in my life. I can deaden my conscience because my love keeps growing colder and colder. My conscience is going to decrease more and more, and I don't recognize it anymore because I am so far away from him that I don't know anything about him. So when he says, I am the way, what does that mean? Who knows? It means nothing to us. Who is he? Do we know him? So we're speaking here of a division that is taking place. And the one who is dividing is the Lord Jesus himself in his glory. And you know, the Bible says that there will be weeping. And maybe that weeping is just knowing. Knowing that the King, in his glory, on his throne, made a judgment that was perfect. I know that. I know his judgment was right. And I am in hell, weeping, and weeping and weeping, because he is right. I lived for myself on this earth. I didn't live for him. What a waste of a life. What a waste of a life. And that I wasted the death of Jesus on the cross for me. I wasted it. For what? A moment of drunken pleasure, of lust, of pride, of look at what I have. Look at who I am. For that, I'm going to weep and weep and weep. And you don't have enough tears to weep out the sorrow that will continue for days and weeks and years and thousands and millions and just goes on. I don't understand it, and neither do you. For what? He says, depart from me, ye cursed. He didn't curse us. He didn't curse us. We were born in a cursed earth. We were born with sin. And the gospel will be the testimony against you and me. The gospel will be the testimony that you and I have heard and know. That will be the testimony against you and me. That is what how we will remain cursed, because we disregarded it. We didn't count it as something that our Lord died for me personally. He knew that one day, thousands of years later, that you and I would be born. And he knew that you would need him and I would need him. And he gave himself on the cross for you and for me. And we don't think enough of it. And so, dear ones, as we think about these things, you know, every one of us has a responsibility. Every one of us has a responsibility for our own life, how we live. Because here it doesn't say that, oh, bring me someone else here to that he can say that I was a good person. Because we're dealing with the King who knows us through and through. You can't say anything. There's no words can be spoken. So every one of us will give an answer for the life that we have lived. And we can, you know, we can be all tough today. We can be all tough today and act tough to one another about someone. Oh, they're no good. This, you know, we can all lift ourselves up by saying someone else is no good. And, you know, we're the only good ones. Do that in front of a righteous judge who knows every thought of yours and every movement you have ever made, who knows the hairs on your head, who knows everything about you. Be tough now. Cover up your sin now. We were so ashamed to have our sin revealed, and so we hid and lived in sin. Now, we're in front of the one who knows. And today, you're not ashamed to sin in front of Jesus. As you hide your sin, as we hide our sin from one another, Jesus knows, and we're not ashamed. But then we're going to stand in front of him, and then we'll be ashamed. But the point is this: there is a finality here. It's final. It's final. It's done. There's two roads, two ways, two destinations, two doors, two. There's no third way. There's no place where half good Christians are going to go. The Bible doesn't speak about it. You can't talk about it. I can't either. Just because you didn't have love in your heart to help someone in need, Jesus says, you don't belong with me. You don't have life because you didn't know the way. You didn't know me. You will have no part of me. But you had all kinds of good deeds. I don't know you. It sounds harsh, but it's final. There's no one to go to. There's no one to talk to. It's final. And that's it. There's a division. And so how long is your life here and my life here? At best, I have maybe 20 more years. It'll pass so fast, I won't even know I lived it. If I do, you might have 40 more. You youngsters could have 70 more. What is it? It's nothing. It's upon that short time that you and I, as the hymn writer says, that short span of years that we have, eternity rests on the decisions that you and I make today. Because then it's too late. And I think what impacted me as I read this verse, these verses this morning, dear ones, is the finality, the point that it's done. It's done. Of course, that takes place when we die. But this, then the judgment. And it's done. There's just nothing else to do. It's today. You and I are given life. It's such a blessing that God gave, that blessed you. You think you have a tough life? You know, a lot of times we might even say it, you know, my life is hell. Or this is hell on earth. This is, you know, we say that because we have no clue what hell is. People say war is hell. There's still nothing. There's nothing that can compare what hell is. So Jesus puts it into an imagery. He talks about it as a weeping and gnashing of teeth and suffering and torment forever. Because that's all we understand. There's no language to describe what hell is. It's so terrible. It's so bad. It's so final that we don't know what it is. But Jesus described it enough with the words that you and I can understand for us to fear. And so what is the escape? The cross. So if the answer for you and for me, brothers, sisters, and dear friends, is cling to the cross. Hold on to Jesus. Follow him. Learn of him. Encourage one another. Don't break down one another. Don't try to show yourself better than someone else. Don't encourage one another. We all need it. We all need it. To help one another. Are you going to be happy? Standing at the judgment throne, that someone else is going to be cast into hell. But what takes place, there's the gulf that is there, separates. It's an eternal separation. There's no more thoughts. The Bible describes heaven as a place that we don't understand again. And so as God has blessed us with today, we don't know about tomorrow. If you have sin in our hearts and in our lives, the Bible tells us, repent. Pray to God. Confess your sin. If you need help, go to someone. Be accountable. Because eternity in heaven or hell rests upon that. Today. Today, if you will hear his voice, it says, harden not your hearts. And so once again, as I close, dear ones, don't comfort yourself with the thought that you love Jesus unless you've repented and you've been born again. And sin no longer reigns in your heart and in your life. Then you know you love him. Then you know you love him. And you will be the one who will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you will enter into eternal life. Jesus says, I am life. You will enter in with him. It says hell wasn't prepared for you and me. It was prepared for the devil. Is prepared for the devil and his angels, and for those who love him, who follow him, who listen to him, who enjoy what he is offering. It's for them too. Where will we be? May God grant unto each of us in that moment as we question and wrestle with who am I, that the clarity of my life, revealed through the scripture only, not through somebody else, through the scripture only, will reveal to me that yes, I am a sinner. I do need to repent so that my love would increase, so that I could really love him with all my heart, all my life, my soul, everything I have. And again, that brings us back to the fulfillment that Jesus says is the first commandment. That's the fulfillment that will take us to this eternal life. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he separated the light from the darkness. He filled them with day and night. He separated the waters from the dry land, and he filled them with animals on the earth, animals in the water. He separated the waters below and the waters above the firmament. He filled the sky with the birds. And in the last day, the word of the Lord, the Son of Man, will sit on his throne, and he will separate the sheep from the goats, and heaven and hell will be filled. Scripture says that Jesus is the one that fills all in all. He determines how all of these things will play out. The answer of men and even the self-confidence of those who felt that they had done what was right did not prevail. But there is a dividing. And Jesus describes this dividing and how it will take place. He says, "And he shall separate them one from another as a sheep. Shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." This separating is beginning. And how does the shepherd do this? How does the shepherd divide his sheep from the goats? He calls. He speaks. And the sheep hear, and the goats refuse. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." This is how the sheep will be separated. They will follow the voice of their shepherd. May we consider what we've heard this morning and how the Spirit has spoken to our hearts, what the shepherd has instructed us. May we follow in that way and find life. May God bless his word. Amen.